Let's get into this, y'all. So today's message is going to be a message of reflection, all right? It's going to be a message of reflection. So as we go through the scripture, we're going to do what one of the scriptures says. It said, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. So today, as we walk through the scriptures, I want us all to examine ourselves. Amen? All right, so as I grew up Pentecostal, all right? Grew up Pentecostal, so might get a little loud, might clap a whole lot because they gave me a headset, so bear with me. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just passionate about the word of the Lord. All right? And so a quick question. Dr. Josh, you got to close your eyes, okay? How many of you have watched In the Text? Okay. Okay. All right. So if you watch In the Text, so you're going to be very familiar with this passage. All right. But I know some people, they was asking me, they was like, well, you don't say too much on it. I need you to speak up. I knew I had to preach this particular text, so I had to wait until I speak this, and then y'all gonna hear me more. All right. All right. So if you watch In the Text today, we're going to be coming from Genesis 3. Genesis 3, and I'm going to start reading at verse 8. It's going to be a lot of reading today, all right? It's going to be a lot of reading, but we're going to get through this. All right, so starting at verse 8, and it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman, there you go, the woman whom you have gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So today we're going to be talking about the question that God asked the man. Where are you? Where are you? So God, we love you. God, we thank you, God, as we spend a few moments in your word, God. God, I ask you to open up our ears, open up our hearts, God, so we'll be able to receive and hear what you have for us, God, this day. God, I ask you to use me, God. Allow me to decrease, God, while you increase. Allow me to step back, God, and you step forward, God. And you get all the glory. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, real quick, I got to speed up. So before we get to the question that God asks humanity, we're just going to walk through this thing and see how did they get here. Is that all right? It's all right, we go walk through this Adam and Eve life, and we're going to walk through and see how they get to the place where God had asked them, where are you? All right, here we go. Genesis 1:3 said, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. I don't know how she got middle, but the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. So the first verse tells us that the serpent is crafty, right? He's clever. He's cunning. So the serpent suggests that they have the freedom to govern themselves and decide what is true for themselves. In other words, the serpent reduced God's words to the level of a mere viewpoint, while men become the measure of what's true for me. Have anybody heard of the statement, live your truth? Or my truth? It's my truth. It's my truth. Right? If you haven't, this is a new age terminology that people use. This statement means that what I think or how I feel is more accurate than any other source than my own. According to the University of Kentucky magazine, The Odyssey, living your truth and being yourself is a 4-step process. 1, accept who you are currently. 2, realize your worth. 3, learn your own personal truth. And 4, live your truth. Live your truth implies that each person has his own truth, his or her own truth, deep within that must be discovered and live out. One person's truth may differ from another's. Those who solicit the live your truth mindset generally urge you to accept yourself, sins and all. They don't really say sins and all, but that's the idea that you are who you are and you can't help it. Good God Almighty. Now that sounds good, right? You know, some of the things they have in there, it sounds good on the surface, right? But let me remind you, it's not about your truth. It's about the truth. And we know in John 14, it said, Jesus said, I am the way, the and the life. And also in John 8, he says, in those you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the one thing that I love about that verse is because there's two truths. The first truth is knowing who Jesus is, right? Then the second truth is knowing that I'm a sinner, that I'm broken, and I'm in need of a Savior. So if I know the truth, that truth will help me see that I need the Savior. So if you know the truth will set you free. Now, our truth, it leads to bondage, not freedom. This is why we have to be careful what we see. Because look in the text, y'all. When we look at the text, we see that not everybody you have a conversation with is for you. Not everybody you have a conversation with is for you. There are some people that are sent by the devil to distract you, to confuse you, and to knock you off track. Here it is, verse 3. But God did say, you must not eat from the tree, that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. So having a conversation, the enemy, the serpent, he tested the woman. He tested the woman to see how well she knew the instructions. So here it is. If you're taking notes, y'all need y'all to lean in right here. Lean in. It's okay not to have all the answers. It's okay not to have all the answers. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, hold on, let me go find out and get clear what the word is saying. It's okay. Because you don't, look what happened. We see that the woman, she added to what was given. She added to what the word says. God never said that you couldn't touch the tree. He said, eat. So just imagine, just think with me for a minute. Just imagine if the serpent, he was with the woman in the garden. Perhaps he had legs, I don't know. But check this out. If he saw the woman and she said that God said we couldn't touch the tree, just imagine him pushing her to the tree. If he pushed her to the tree, he said, look it, see, you will not die. And because of that very reason, now the woman, she would start to think that God is, hey, God, you're lying to me. Because you said if I touch it, then I would die. Now, how many of us have been upset with God because somebody or you misinterpreted what God said? I remember growing up, ladies, they couldn't wear pants in church. Uh-oh. In some churches, you know, women couldn't even wear open-toed shoes. I can't get into explain why that all that is. But some of us have been upset with God, wanted to leave the church because of your misinterpretation or because of somebody else. So it's important for us, here it is, not to distort God's word. Do not distort God's word. Because there's three scriptures that tells us about adding to or taking away from God's word. Now, I can't read them all, but here's three. One of them, Moses to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He was talking to them. He was explaining to them, hey, do not add, do not take from. The second one, God reminds us, he warns us in Revelations 22. Do not add or do not take from. Then the third one, Agar, in Proverbs 35 through 6, it says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. All these scriptures proves that there are consequences when we add or take away from God's words. This is why Paul, I believe, he said, "Oh, everybody shouldn't become a teacher. Because a teacher, you're judged more strictly. So it matters how you live your life. It matters your heart posture. It matters what you teach and how you live your life." So be careful. Be careful not to distort God's words. And God's word, it doesn't need your ad-libs. It's fine. It's fine all by itself. All right, moving along. Verse 4 says, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. The serpent clearly contradicts the very words that God used in Genesis 2 and 17. But in this, he removes fear. Good God Almighty. Because he contradicts the word, he removes the fear from the woman. I was afraid that I was going to die. But now that you just said that, the fear is gone. So Satan effectively laid the groundwork. He drew Eve into a discussion with him and planted the seed of doubt about God's word and exposed Eve's incomplete understanding of God's word. Here it is. Here's another one. We can talk at the devil, but do not have a conversation with him. We can talk at the devil, but do not have a conversation with him. Jesus gave us this very example. He said, the only thing that Jesus said, he said, "It is," come on, Bible readers, "it is written." Listen, you can't outsmart Satan, y'all. You can't. The Bible says he is crafty, and don't forget that he knows God's word. So the only way that we can overcome Satan is by the power of Jesus Christ. He has given us all power and all authority. So look at your neighbor and say, "No more conversations." No more conversations with him. So now he moves in for the kill with an outright contradiction of what God says. In verse 5 and 6, it says, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Listen to this. Satan's temptation was powerful because it had some truth in it. Yes, their eyes were open, and they did know good and evil, but not as God's. Remember, Satan, he wanted to be like God. That's why he got cast out. So he would do anything to get you to think that you will be like God. This is why you gotta watch out for some of this new age stuff, because they try to teach you that you can be a God. No. There's only one true and living God. But back to it. He said, but not as God's. So if Satan doesn't couple it with some truth, there is little power in his temptation. So when we look at ourselves, right, how many of you have, you know, you've been certain places, you did certain things, and the devil just tell you, you know, you got to ask for forgiveness, right? Oh, there ain't been nobody? Nobody? Nobody know? Okay, if I go to his house, or if I go to her house, God will forgive me. He's going to, but you got to remember, the devil, he doesn't tell you the whole truth. Yes, God will forgive you, but he won't tell you that there will be a hook. There will be an addiction that's added to it. So now he could just, "Oh, they going to church? Okay. You on my string? Okay. You at church? Okay." Next thing you know, all I got to do is dangle the bait in front of you, and I could just lure you back in. That's what he don't tell you. So there's always little power in his temptation if there is some truth. So we got to remember, be careful listening to the devil. So the serpent, he made this woman feel as if she was missing something. The very thing that the woman saw tells us, tells us in 1 John 2 and 16, it says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, And the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So the very thing that this woman saw in the garden is the same thing God tells us in 1 John. I'll never forget this, you all. When I was in middle school, Elder Johnson, he taught me about the four L's. The four L's is you look, linger, lust, and you lose. You look, linger, lust, and lose. So when she saw it, right? She saw that it was good. She was looking. But she looked a little bit too hard. And she started to linger. And then she saw that it was desirable and good for food. So now I'm lusting. And then she ate. So men, don't look twice now. You know, walk by, don't turn your head. Just keep straight. Some men think they slid. They had their sunglasses on. Oh, no. Women, y'all be careful. In the gym or on Instagram or scrolling, just scroll away. I know he got his shirt off. I know he looked good, but don't linger. Don't linger. So we have to be mindful. So here we are. We almost done, y'all. We almost done. I got a little bit of time. Oh, help me, Jesus. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now that the eyes were open, they see things differently. Not just with themselves, but they see the world through a different lens because their eyes were open. And when when Adam saw Eve in their nakedness, he felt terrible, right? They felt bad, which is good. Which is good that they felt bad. Because the Bible even tells us, he said, if you confess your sins, he said, I will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So even though they had the conviction, that was good, it was great. That's what God wants from us. He wants to be able to us to come to him. Even in Psalms, he said, a broken and contrite spirit, I will not refuse. I want you, come to me when you're broken. Come to me when you're feeling sad. I'm here. I want to cover you. So, after they realized that they were naked, the first thing that they did was sew leg fees and they covered themselves. They covered their bodies, but didn't cover their shilt and game. They didn't cover their guilt and shame. Because let me tell you something. God never told us to cover ourselves. The only time the Bible tells us to cover ourselves when he said, put on Christ. That's the only time. Any other time, he didn't tell us to cover ourselves. But this is what sin does. It produces guilt and it produces shame, and we hide. Good God Almighty, we hide. Our fig leaf sounds like this. God knows my heart. It sounds like this. I'm doing the best I can. We make excuses for our bad behavior. Let me remind you, don't hide. Confess to Jesus and allow him to cover you. All right, so we ran down everything. That was from verse 1 through 7. We ran down everything that Adam and Eve went through to get to the very place where God asked them, where are you? Hopefully, y'all would, I pray y'all been thinking about yourselves. I pray. I'm going to read verse 8 through 14 one more time. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking through the garden, cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God, called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, "Who told you that you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree in which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Not a sound, the sound. So they were familiar with God coming. They were familiar with his presence. But instead, they hid from the presence of God. The very thing that will cover them. The very thing that will restore them. The very thing that would give them peace, they hid from it. I got 3 minutes. So here it is. Here it is. This is what I want you to think about. Who and what is your serpent? Who and what is your serpent? When we look at Adam and Eve, they hid from his presence. They were presented with different things to cause them to first have a discussion with the enemy, but not only have a discussion with the enemy, but it caused them to look at God differently. It caused them to look at God differently. It caused them to misinterpret God's scripture. It caused so many things. So what has caused you? Who has caused you to look at God differently? Who has caused you to hide from God in his presence? Who and what is your serpent? God asked a question. He said, "Adam, where are you?" I believe the same thing is happening right now in Zoe Center. God is walking through here asking, "Where are you? You're hiding in my presence. I'm trying to free you in my presence, but you keep hiding from me. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. I want you to get your zeal back. I want you to get your passion back. I want you to love me like you used to. I want to spend some time with you like you used to. But where are you?" When he asked them, "Where are you?" This wasn't about a location. God knew where they were, but it was more so about a position. Oh my God. "You don't act like you my daughter no more. You don't act like you my son no more. Where are you?" Was it the pandemic? I don't know what, but where are you? Where are you? Like Adam and Eve and his wife, they hid. We are in his presence every Sunday. But here's a question for you. Are you serious enough to tell God the whole truth? Are you serious enough to tell God the whole truth, the whole story? You only get provisional deliverance because you don't tell God the whole story. You tell part of it. Let me say that again. You only get provisional, temporary deliverance because you don't tell God the whole story. You tell part of it. You become a candidate of wholeness when you release the whole story. If you don't release the whole story, here it is, the part you're holding on to is the part you are prone to replay. You can play, bro. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about what God wants from you. You know where you are. You know who and what is your serpent that's causing you to look at God differently, to not really tell the whole story. But God is calling out to you, asking you, where are you? Last scripture to help you out is Proverbs 28:13. It says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Finds mercy.